Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson and anywhere podcasts are available, including iTunes, where if you hit that subscribe and download button, you start jacking us up in the podcast rankings there on iTunes on your podcast iOS app thing. I want to look us up really quick, Larson, see
okay.
where we're at.
Okay, sounds
in
good.
Podcast, or where else can you find us?
At patreon.com/Steven Larson.
Oh no! Oh god, he's dying.
Sorry, I'm dealing with some allergy attack issues here.
Oh no!
Sorry. Let's try that again.
Yeah,
patreon.com/Steven Larson.
Yes,
we're on the Patreon. Various reward tiers.
Yeah, I just showed you the cover tiers. To our comic book.
That's looking good.
Looking good. We're at 104. We're just cool. Above Planet Football with Grant Wall.
I feel like we're
underneath John Calipari's Calcast.
I feel like we're consistently hovering
yeah.
between 95 and 105.
Yeah.
Before, we were bouncing all over the place.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
consistency.
Before, like, we were as high as, like, 40-something, and but then we drop out of the top 150.
Yes.
So now we like consistency.
I like consistency. I like knowing every day when I come over here, when you check, we're going to be between 95 and 105,
yeah,
roughly.
I like certainty in my life.
Yes.
And you know what I also like? Good t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. That you can get at the New Japan shop.
Yeah.
At Pro Wrestling Tees. But this is the Going In Raw. We've got like five designs there. They're really great.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
Hopefully we'll have six very soon.
Yeah. We're also going to be at Internet Darlings Live. If you're going to be at WrestleMania, if you're going to Orlando WrestleMania week or weekend.
Yes.
We're going to be, it's on Saturday, April 1st, I believe, from
four to six.
That's right. Then we're going to NXT at 8. Somebody yes. asked me earlier,
yes.
is there a meet and greet afterwards? And I said, yeah, we're going to stick around.
Yeah, we'll
for
hang
a bit.
Around for a little bit.
If people, my thing is, if people buy their tickets to come see us live, I'm going to damn well meet those people.
Yeah, we'll shake your hand. We'll talk for a little
if
bit.
If that means I have to miss a Patrick Clark versus Oney Lorcan match, I don't want to do that.
We're not missing any of NXT.
We're not missing any of it?
We paid for those tickets. We're getting the full experience.
All right.
Because we'll do a separate meetup, I'm sure, at some other point. Yeah,
I know, but people pay their money to come see us at Internet Darlings. What if
I
they
understand.
Have literally no other opportunity to come see us?
I'm not saying we're going to stick around for 15 minutes and bail.
Yeah.
We'll stick around for at least 45 minutes, maybe an hour.
Yeah, I would say an hour. An hour is
yeah.
good. Yeah,
that gives,
that
leave
gives
there
a whole
by
hour
seven,
to get there.
An hour
I'm just saying,
to get the arena.
That
That's
means,
totally fine.
If that means we have to miss Patrick Clark, Oney Lorcan, so
but
be
if
it.
We leave at 7, we won't miss Patrick
you'd
Clark
think.
Oney Lorcan.
You would think. You'd absolutely think.
Yeah.
No
can, we can work this all out. So
what if one of us gets shot?
Gets
what if somebody gets shot? What if a drunken indie wrestler shoots us on the way?
Well, then we have
what if we what if we run into
immediate problem?
What if we run into Okada and he gives us a Rainmaker, or Dana Brooke and she gives us a Rainmaker?
Depends how well we sell it.
Let's talk about SmackDown, Larson.
Yes, please.
Okay. Overall. Kind of an iffy show.
Well,
it was a standard good. Well, it was a jam packed SmackDown.
Yeah, well paced, entertaining show. But
I feel like we've gone two steps forward and like five steps back with a couple of these storylines.
Some of the details, and especially when it comes to the characterizations of the wrestlers.
Yeah,
it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well,
I feel like for a couple the main feuds, AJ Shane. And Randy and Bray, to a certain extent, they're trying to interject some shades of gray
mm-hmm.
into the storylines and the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, instead of adding complexity, they're just making it muddled.
No, they've dumbed it down.
Yeah.
If you think about it, like they have dumbed both these feuds down.
Especially
like,
Bray Randy.
Especially Bray Randy. That was horrible. Let's start off, though. We had Daniel Bryan backstage on the phone.
Talking to somebody, kind of doing a tease of what we can expect on the show. One of the things he said was that The Miz was planning something very special for Miz TV that night.
Yeah, this was when Daniel Bryan's not at his best acting-wise, when he has to talk to nobody on the phone.
But later on, he was very good.
Oh, yeah, no, you can always tell, like, when he's doing something that he's very, very comfortable with versus doing something that honestly, it's like watching any of those Star Wars prequels movies where they have to shoot up against a green screen.
Yeah.
And you have Lucas telling them, like, what's going on. And they're just stiff.
Yeah.
But when you have something to actually chew on, like, for example, Liam Neeson in Rob Roy.
Yeah.
Then he's really good.
Yeah.
Qui-Gon Jinn, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan on empty phone.
Not so good.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, AJ comes in looking for Shane. He's got a hot head, which was interesting because Shane was the one. I mean, what Daniel Bryan said was true. I mean, I know they got into that altercation at Gorilla.
Last week.
But Daniel Bryan was like, you know, Shane was advocating for you.
Yeah, Shane had
Daniel
AJ's
Bryan.
Back.
Daniel Bryan really is the one you should be mad at.
I know.
Yeah, but you can't put his head through
a car
window.
AJ said, you know, I can't put my hands on you because you're delicate now.
Yeah.
And he said Daniel Bryan was just the puppet anyways, which doesn't make any sense. It seems pretty clear that, by and large, Daniel Bryan makes most of the decisions on SmackDown.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, I can see, in terms of the management structure, that Daniel Bryan is like the assistant manager to Shane's, you know, Uber manager.
Yeah, but I mean, based on how the show is booked week in, week out,
yeah,
it's not as if Daniel Bryan consistently goes to Shane and gets approval for all his decisions.
Well, you know, did I just hear a door getting being knocked on?
No, I thought I heard a door close.
Oh, ghosts. Anyways, Shane, I feel was sorry, I've been rattled by the ghost now. Daniel Bryan. Oh,
it's like someone started chanting CM Punk at you, huh?
It was. Okay, no, my point is this. Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack later on was talking about, I don't like Miz TV, but we have to do these things. And so I don't think he does, like, I think he makes less decisions than you think he does. I want to know specifically what his decision-making authority
is. I'm not saying Daniel Bryan is the sole decision-maker on the show, because there's been times where Daniel and Shane have said, you know, we talked this over.
Yeah.
We have come to this
decision. They do seem to have a collaborative relationship.
Yes. So it's, but there have been times, such as this episode, when Daniel Bryan unilaterally fired AJ.
Yeah.
That Daniel Bryan has made decisions and he has the authority to make decisions without consulting with Shane.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just to say, oh, Daniel Bryan, you're a puppet, doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Well, it's AJ Styles, too. He's not thinking right. You know,
I know.
He's steamed.
So we go to the intro.
Yeah, then we see a glorious sight, Larson. A glorious sight. What was it?
It was the announced team that was just Tom Phillips.
Oh yeah,
and JBL.
I know,
and it was very good.
It was so good, man. It made me so happy. Oh, mama mia! Oh, cleaning a cock. Oh, boo! And then David Otunga. Wow, player one is very strong. Look at player two. He's strong also. Wow, he's fast. Tired of that shit. I'm tired of this shit. Go up and make movies forever. You'll do very well. I'm sure you're a spectacular actor, David Otunga. You go do that. I'm sure you're a very nice human being. You're obviously a lawyer and everything. So you got chops up in the brains. You're an actor. That's good. You're a good-looking guy. Just stay away from the commentary table. I liked him as a wrestler.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought he was funny as a wrestler.
Yeah.
And Morrow... I don't even want him on 205 Live, because if he's not on 205 Live, that means we get Tom Phillips and Corey Graves, my favorite tandem now.
Yes.
We don't get them at all.
I so enjoyed hearing the commentary team last night because they let moments breathe.
I know.
Not to say anything.
I know. And I liked, I'm fully on board with JBL.
Yeah,
I said
JBL's
this last
fine.
Time. I'm fully on board. I've loved JBL now. I don't care. He can beat up any little nerd he wants to. I understand now why he beat up Blue Meanie. Why he tried to beat up Joey Styles and then got clocked like he was Biff Tannen taking on George McFly. So anyways, no Morrow Ornello. I know a lot of you people out there like Morrow. I think Morrow is a very, very skilled play-by-play guy. It gets too much with his pop culture references and his Mamma Mia.
He operates at one speed.
Yeah, he does.
Where... I think we can both agree that JR is probably the best play-by-play man
in
the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
And what made him so great is he knew when to dial it back. Mm-hmm. He knew when to turn it up to 11.
Yeah.
And he knew when to talk, and he knew when not to say anything.
And Mauro seems to have, like, and this is kind of evident, you know, I mean, a lot of you know, like, we got blocked on Twitter because I posted this poll and I forget why I was so tired that day, but I was.
No, you were sick.
I was sick that day. And I tagged him in it and I said, no, I don't think, maybe Kaufman, I think Kaufman admitted after the fact that he did.
Oh, I don't remember.
Maybe that was the, I
no, I think you tagged him. I thought I tagged him.
Oh, maybe Kaufman got blocked because he retweeted him. But anyways, I put up a poll through our, I think, the Real Going In Raw account that said something like, how quick is Mauro going to make a stupid Brangelina reference? Because it was when they were going through the divorce. And it got, now it's up to like 880. I looked the other day. It's got 880 responses to it. And Mauro blocked us. Anyways. But that's not really, that's not why I dislike it. I just think that he, to, for me, he just doesn't add what I want, what me personally, Steve here, wants at commentary.
A play-by-play man for a wrestling show, I think, provides two elements, necessary elements. One is to call the match, what's happening. The second is to help advance the story of the match. And yeah. I think, by and large, Mauro comes from an MMA background. Mm-hmm. He's called a lot of MMA, I believe. Mm-hmm. So where that's more or less strictly, you're calling the match. Mm-hmm. You're describing what's happening.
Yeah.
But there's not a whole lot. There's not, you know, the narrative of an MMA fight is just what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, there's no lead up. Well, I guess there could be lead up, but not in a narrative sense. Mm-hmm. Whereas wrestling, that's kind of an important part of what the commentary team does. And I think he can call a match in terms of the play by play. But for whatever reason on SmackDown, the storytelling elements just aren't necessarily there. During the Cruiserweight Classic, mm-hmm. him and Daniel Bryan were able to call matches and relate stories mm-hmm. relatively well.
But yeah, but also, Jermaine, to your point there, is that in the Cruiserweight Classic, it was much more like, I'm not going to say it was real, like an MMA match.
No, I understand what you mean. There wasn't narratives necessarily leading up. It was the narrative was the competition of the tournament.
Exactly.
As opposed to...
Which is why he was so strong there.
Yes.
Yeah. But Tom Phillips, he just lets, like you said, he just lets it breathe. Like, he's got a very... He's not intrusive. That's what I like about him. He's not intrusive with Mauro. Oh, Mamma Mia, clean his clock. Ooh, metaphors.
Yeah.
With Tom Phillips, is just like... He doesn't get in the way of it.
No.
You know, like he doesn't assert himself into it.
He calls a match. He provides a little bit of story help. He knows when to crack wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knows when to be serious.
And when he gets
knows when to be quiet.
When he gets like made fun of, he rolls with it and is very self-deprecating.
Yes.
And that's because it's obvious that he's, you know, comfortable in his own skin. And so it's much more pleasant for me.
Yes.
So anyways, last night was a pleasant commentary experience.
Yes.
Anyways, AJ comes out. Was this when he was back? No, he comes out.
Yeah, he comes out to the ring because he leaves the backstage area with Daniel Bryan, says, I'm going to go
to the universe
and tell him why I'm upset, essentially.
Yeah.
So he comes out and voices his displeasure with being messed with.
By management.
Management, Shane and Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes through a laundry list of reasons why he's upset.
And they're all very, like, they're...
They make total sense.
Very...
They make complete and total sense.
They do.
He brings up the fact that Randy Orton is an arsonist.
Yeah.
Burned down the Wyatt compound. And he's not in jail.
That was, like, one of my main things, too, is that it's like, granted, I know that Daniel Bryan, I know that it's all story and it's all written.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Daniel Bryan has to say this stuff. So I'm not saying, like, why would Daniel Bryan, blah, blah, blah. But storyline-wise, creatively speaking, if you're writing this show, why does it make any sense... For Daniel Bryan's character to basically, 2 weeks ago when they decided to have a number one contenders match, last week when he comes out and says Randy Orton burned a man's house down, but he won the Royal Rumble and there's tradition here.
Yeah, and it's especially funny that Daniel Bryan took that position considering that he got to the main event of WrestleMania by defying that tradition.
Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly.
So in a lot of sense, it would have made more sense if Daniel Bryan was like, no, AJ Styles should be in the main event because, you know, Randy Orton said he was going to relinquish his main event slot.
Like,
and it would have made sense for Shane to say, I come from this industry. I like tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Tradition dictates that the Royal Rumble winner
gets
that shot. So that's what I'm going to – that's my position.
And on top of that, like, not to fast forward too much, but when AJ Styles – like destroyed Shane McMahon backstage later, that's a time-honored tradition too. We get backstage brawls. It's literally a feature in a video game on the WWE. So why is he getting fired for that when Randy Orton literally burned down the house of one of your supers, of your champion?
Yeah.
He burned down the fucking house of your champion.
Zero discipline.
He just gets a mic and he gets to come out and he says his thing. and he moves on to the main event.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense from the standpoint of writing that character. Why is it okay in one situation and it's not okay in another situation? This sort of this shit where all that matters is heel. You're a heel, therefore I'm cool with what you do. You're a face. I'm cool with what you do is bullshit. When if the reasons for those things don't make real world sense.
Yes. And I think that's why it goes back. I think they're trying to not have, I don't think they're necessarily supposed to, or they're not trying to put characters on a heel face spectrum on the opposite ends of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I feel like. But then you get to the Bray Randy thing, and it seems crystal clear who the heel and who the face is, despite logic.
Yeah.
But with the AJ Shane thing, all of AJ's points during his promo make perfect sense. Perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
You can understand why he'd be upset.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally,
yeah.
Completely. 100%. And then fast forward to his altercation with Shane. That's 100% heel move, what AJ did.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to add complexity to AJ's character, then just don't have him blindside Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Have him getting, you know, have him approach Shane. Be upset. Say, Shane, what the hell, man? What is going on? Confront him. Maybe something happened where Shane says, get in my way. I can't deal with this right now. Pushes him.
Mm-hmm.
That just sets AJ off. He loses his mind. He's so angry. Does that. At a certain point, after he throws Shane's head through a window, he says, oh, shit, I messed up.
Yeah.
And then you know, you still have him be fired.
Yeah.
But just to have him be like, all right, well, I'm not getting my way, so I'm going to, you know, go full heel on Shane.
Mm-hmm.
It totally runs counter to the promo he just dropped in the ring.
I know.
And instead of adding complexity, it just muddles everything.
Yeah, I know.
Because the fans want to root for AJ.
I know.
They want to root for AJ. People might still pop for Shane. People are going to root for AJ during that match.
I know. No, in this case, I think they are definitely, they're doing this weird thing where it's like, no, AJ's a heel and Shane is a face basically because those are the roles that we've decided for them.
Yes.
Not let's let the story dictate what these things are, like how their characters play out. Like it's absolutely bizarre that they treat him like shit. And then we're supposed to just be cool with it because they know that Shane's going to get a pop regardless. And the same thing with Randy Orton.
Yeah.
They know he's going to get a pop regardless. And so they just let him do whatever he wants to do.
We'll get to the promo, but there's like literally he said, I had to be sadistic and evil.
Yeah.
So his plan came to fruition. And yet he's the good guy.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Doesn't make any sense.
I know.
Anyways, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. Next up was, Becky Lynch versus Natalya. This is like a grudge match because last week Natalya turned on Becky Lynch
during a tag match. It was a good match. It was fast paced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Becky picked up the win with a disarm her.
Yeah, she like did sort of a, like what they were like sort of on the top rope or something.
And she kind of flipped Natalya around, got her on the ground, and like pivoted on her arm.
Yeah.
From like an armbar position to the disarm.
If you ran it at like a 1.5 speed faster, it'd have been way cooler because it just sort of lumbered off the top.
Yeah,
and
a little bit.
Yeah, it was kind of a lumbering thing. But it was a decent match. It was a good match.
Yeah,
and then afterwards, Carmella came out and attacked Becky Lynch. It's setting up this whole women's, I don't even know what kind of, what do we know?
They haven't declared what type of match it is. It's just,
we don't know if it's going to be
Alexa Bliss is taking on everybody in the women's roster.
So it could be a six-pack challenge.
It could be a gauntlet match.
It could be a gauntlet. It could be a
battle royal.
Over the top rope elimination.
Could be.
Could be. I don't know.
I don't know.
That's kind of it. Cut to backstage. AJ's waiting for Shane to show up. Cut to Carmella and Ellsworth give an interview where Carmella
more or less just says that she wants her shot at the women's title at WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's going to be in that
match. I like that. Was Ellsworth still selling his neck injury?
I didn't notice.
Yeah, I saw a couple times he does this.
That's funny.
Yeah. Then we had Miz TV. I know a lot of you guys out there are waiting for me to do my Maurice.
Oh, yeah.
I just actually, what this was the only segment I missed last night, so I watched it this morning. So bad. Oh, God. I'll say this about Maurice, though. Between, like, seeing how charming she actually is in real life when we got to interview them. And then seeing her on Talking Smack last week, like she always seems very amused to be there, regardless of what's happening, how dramatic things are supposed to be.
Oh, last week on Talking Smack was great.
She always seems to be
hard
so
time
amused,
not laughing.
And I actually find like when she talks, it's very cute.
Yeah,
it's just really, really fun to do a really, really bad imitation of it. I know people like it. So, anyways, Miz comes out. They run tape from last week's Talking Smack when he was doing his thing.
And Miz kind of reiterates, you know, what he'd been saying for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. And then he leaves it to Maryse. He says, Maryse, you have a story to tell about Nikki Bella.
And so she related a riveting tale about some backstage goings on.
Nikki and I used to be best friends in the entire whole world. And we were on the going to be on the first season of Total Divas.
And she says, more or less, that Nikki cost her a part.
Yeah, cost me a contract.
The first season of Total Divas cost her money. And
she texts me and says, I'm going to be on. I'm sorry. You're good.
Yeah, and then cost her 3.5 years away from The Miz, I guess because she wouldn't be traveling with them on the road.
And she said that Nikki specifically said, they cannot touch me because I am John Cena's girlfriend. I am intangible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then, Maryse said she's going to expose Nikki for what she is.
A lying, backstabbing bitch.
Yeah.
She is no good. And John Cena is no good too.
Yeah. So then, of course, Cena and Nikki come out.
Cena looks so fucking like... He looks like he's still at the Kids' Choice Awards. Like, he just acts like this is a frolic in the park for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't just... It's obvious
like he feels like, well, I got no load to carry this time.
I know, which is like, it's alternately like... It's like, man, that must feel good. But at the same time, he's probably like... I've got 1 foot out the door and you're wasting me with this shit.
I know.
I think he's probably just on the inside like, all right, if this is what you really think is best for business, then I'll do whatever.
Like, all right, I'll do it.
You know, and you're going to have Roman Reigns versus Undertaker. That's fucking...
I know.
Yeah.
So Nikki says to Maryse in response to her claim that, you know...
If I have the power to block your job, why are you right here right now? She has such a whiny voice.
I know. And then she said... They were never best friends.
We were never best friends.
And then Nikki challenges Maryse to a match that night.
Yeah.
At SmackDown.
Miz says, Maryse says, Daniel Bryan comes out and says...
He lists a number of reasons why he wants to punch Miz in the face.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It was pretty good. And he said...
Daniel Bryan, whenever he has to say the tagline, the ultimate thrill ride, you can tell he cringes a little bit on the inside.
Because
it's such a bad tagline.
It's terrible.
Although that commercial's fucking hilarious.
I know. I guess, you know, with all the theme parks in Orlando, I understand what inspired it. It doesn't make it good.
It's so dumb.
So anyways, Daniel Bryan announces that, you know, Miz and Maryse and Cena and Nikki will have their match at WrestleMania, which had been rumored for a while.
They're going to have the match at WrestleMania.
And that's how the segment ended.
That's good.
That was it.
That's a waste of everybody's time.
Pretty much. So
we're going to see Cena propose to Nikki in the ring.
Maryse brought up the wedding ring thing.
I really wish that he would like have the prenup waiting.
Right, like, you know, he opens the ring case, the ring's there. She says yes, and from behind his back, like Ty Dillinger with 10.
Yeah,
he brings out the prenup.
Prenups to everybody.
There you go.
Yeah,
I will say this though: if they do that, if they get engaged in front of 50,000 people, that's only gonna the Miz is right then. Right?
Okay, again, this is the world that we're living in. You're absolutely right. Everything the Miz says is validated.
Yeah.
I mean, by and large, what John Cena says is validated too. However, everything he says is completely valid. It's completely valid. John Cena stomps around where he wants to go.
Yeah.
Man, did you hear he's going to be in the sequel to
Daddy's
Home?
Yeah.
That's going to be fucking good.
Yeah.
Where Wahlberg is now in the Will Ferrell kind of role because John Cena comes in and he's all ripped and shit.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. I need to watch that movie. I only watched like the first like 20 minutes of it. And I can only take so much of a comedy where your protagonist gets shit on for comedy's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't let that just bugs the crap out of me. Yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I like Will Ferrell is so much funnier when he's arrogant. Because his character really has no right to be
nearly oblivious in his arrogance. Yes.
Exactly, because he kind of does. He does that also in Semi Pro.
He does that in a lot of his movies.
In a lot of his movies.
Talladega Nights.
Oh yeah.
Completely oblivious.
Yeah.
Delusional.
Yeah, that was great. Anchorman, of course, is the one where he does that like to the nth degree,
to the max. So, anyways, AJ still waiting backstage for Shane to show up.
Right.
So then we have Alexa Bliss versus Mickie James.
Yeah.
Decent match.
Yeah.
More physical than technical, especially the first half. There was that Beal where Alexa Bliss did on Mickie, and I don't know, it looked like the timing was off and looked like Mickie kind of landed on her head a little bit.
There is a great botch during 205 Live.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
They tried to do the thing where
Don't spoil it for me. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
I haven't watched it yet.
That sounds good.
And then
Mickey James picked up the win with the Kicky James.
We know that's not the name of the move. We understand like that name that. Better.
We think Kicky James is a much better name.
Yes.
Kicky James.
Kicky James.
I like to say that. Oh, let's see here. Okay, so then interview bot comes up on AJ.
No, it was Renee Young.
Oh, it was Renee Young? Yeah. They left that to Renee? Oh, you're right. That's right. That's right. So she rolls up on AJ, and he says...
Since I don't have a WrestleMania match.
WrestleMania is the ultimate thrill ride. I got to get my thrills when I can.
Shane arrives.
Yeah.
AJ ducks behind a car.
Yeah.
Shane gets out of his car, starts to walk into the arena. It's funny, AJ attacks him from behind.
It's funny, nobody texted Shane in advance, everybody knowing that it's was mulling about, milling about him backstage. Right. And nobody said, Shane, hey, AJ is waiting for you. Like, nobody said, hey, even when he gets out, when he's saying, he literally said goodbye or thanks to the driver. Shane, dude, hey, AJ's here. He wants to talk to you. I think he's going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Something. I know. Nobody says anything.
Nothing. Not a word. Not a word.
Yeah, so anyways, AJ put Shane's fucking head through a car window. It was a really cool sequence.
Yeah. Like, but again, given how AJ's been portrayed the last few weeks, and especially on the heels of the promo he delivered earlier tonight, it didn't make much sense to have it go down that way. It seemed too easy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think my thing is it's totally a heel thing to do, and that's what they sort of care about. But like, the problem is all of his points about why he's upset are completely valid.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, it's I understand what you're saying in that if you want to add depth to this character, and yeah, like that, you're absolutely right. But it's obvious they have no interest in doing that. They have the only interest they have is sticking to these heel face
roles. I think they have interest in adding depth, but not genuine depth. Because why else?
That's the only depth that matters, though. I mean, look at this Orton Bray shit. Like, and the thing is, this was probably the plan the entire time to do it this way, and that's what I was afraid of. This was exactly the path that we were like, this is the path of least interesting. This is a path where this guy, I start to not care about him anymore.
Yeah.
Because
he's boring face Randy Orton champion.
Yeah. So,
let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Oh, we saw Finley, too. Yeah, we had a bunch of stuff. That was great.
Fit Finley came to check on Shane wearing a fantastic suit.
Yeah, he looked great.
Great suit.
Who do you think would win? Papa Finley or Dave Finley Jr.?
Oh, Papa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Fit Finley. Kind of ironic name because neither him nor his son are incredibly fit.
No.
I always love that about Dave Finley out there in New Japan. He always wears like the smallest chonies. He's like kind of a doughy guy.
Yeah.
It's great. I like him though. He's cool.
Shane donned the fake blood.
Nice touch. It was so fake. I love when they bring up the dude who's getting sued by CM, or the dude who's suing CM Punk too. What's his name? I forget.
Oh, I don't remember.
I forget. But he's there and he's like reading his lines. And he's like trying to be all medical.
Oh,
and stuff.
Yeah. Shane getting checked out by the medics.
Yeah.
They want to take him to the emergency room. He says, no.
No. And they said, okay, well, at least
go to the trainer.
Shane, at least go to the trainer's room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next, we had AJ talking with the Usos.
No, that was great. Room. No, it was just, I like this because it was to illustrate that the heels, even the heels on SmackDown, thought he went too far because Chad Hawking was back there too. And he says something like, what was that, man? And then the Uso says, yeah, you can't put people's head through windows. And it's like, so I get the point. The heels even think that he went too far.
That he
crossed a line.
Too heel.
He was too heel.
So as AJ's leaving the locker room, Daniel Bryan is there. And Daniel Bryan is giving him the what's for.
I get the feeling, you know what's funny, dude? This is kind of written as if somebody back there has some really good ideas, but then it's getting filtered through Kevin Dunn or Vince or whomever, the head writer, whoever that may be. I have no idea. It sounds like there is somebody who has some good ideas for how this stuff can go because there are elements in all these storylines that are really good.
I think that's what makes it disappointing is we could see avenues that would make it interesting and really compelling.
Yeah.
And in the end, they just kind of go the easy route.
They go, I know, the easy route, which often doesn't make sense in this day and age. It really doesn't.
Because like this segment was good.
Yeah.
When Daniel Bryan confronted AJ, he was genuinely intense.
Oh, yeah. Daniel Bryan was really good here.
And then AJ says, what are you going to do, fire me?
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan says, yep.
Yes.
I know. Yes. You still work here? No. No.
My favorite part about the sequence, though, were the performance trainer, the performance center trainees, all in their security outfits, and every single one of them had to get a line in.
Yeah.
And there was one of the dudes, like, sort of in the back middle, that says, "It's over now, AJ," or something like that. I tweeted it out.
But again,
okay, AJ, now let's go. Okay, AJ.
Not to diminish what AJ did, because throwing someone's head through a car window, that's assault.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's a crime.
Oh, yeah, big time.
But you also have an arsonist.
Yes.
On your show that's main eventing WrestleMania. How come he's not getting arrested?
I have no idea.
That too is a crime.
I know.
Doesn't make any sense.
It's so, it, like, if I feel like if a different face authority figure, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. How are you supposed to react? Like, dude, you burn down somebody's house. Like, at least give devote like a backstage segment to that. Randy Orton, you burn down Bray Wyatt's house. You know, like, have somebody be not happy about that.
Yes.
You know?
Or explain why he's not in jail.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I mean, I think wouldn't that be up to Bray to press charges?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Bray's not going to be. I'd like to give you a statement.
I'd like to fill out a police report.
That's the one. I'd like to fill out a report. Or him. You know, when I got a lawnmower stolen out of my car. Because I didn't put it in the backyard when I bought it from Sears.
Yeah, I like that story.
So here's the thing. I'm so fucking stupid sometimes. It's amazing. I love it. So back when I lived in Rancho, I mowed my lawn one day, and I just sort of put my lawnmower near my front door, but it was still out there, and somebody stole it overnight.
Yeah.
So I went to Sears a week later. I bought a lawnmower, brought it home, kept it in my car overnight, and that got stolen too.
It was still in the box, right?
They got a brand new lawnmower. Still in the box, baby.
That's hilarious.
For the first one, I filled out a police report because I was like, might as well, like, see if they can get on Craigslist or something, look for lawnmowers. And
how soon was it?
I never heard back.
No, I mean, how soon was it that they stole the second one after you filed the police report? Oh, matter of days?
Embarrassingly short period of time.
Yeah, you can't go back to the police with that.
I didn't go to the police on that one. Right. On the first one I did.
That's too embarrassing.
I filled it out online, and I was like, yeah, I did that. But yeah, they never got back to me. Maybe they just never got back to Bray. I feel like they'd take arson more seriously, though.
Yeah, I would think so.
Randy Orton just stole my lawnmower. I needed it for the compound. It was a riding mower. It was a John Deere. All right, anyways.
Next, we had Mojo against Dolph.
Yes, this is because last week, I watched this, you know, they recapped when Dolph, or when Mojo was
doing his interview.
And he seems like such a genuinely joyful guy.
I know.
And he was very happy. It was like when he was given the interview, when he was so proud to announce that he was in the pre-show Andre the Giant Battle Royal, that he's in it. It was like he was telling his parents that he was going to law school or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Dolph comes up with his weird man bun, and he talks some shit or whatever. And so they did that again. But I looked at Mojo the entire time this time when Dolph was talking shit to him. And Mojo has this look like he wants to sneeze the entire time. He goes like this. Like that. It's pretty funny. It makes me laugh. Anyways.
So this whole match, Mojo was.
This is cool. I like this.
Eliminating.
He was
Dolph.
Yeah.
He just must keep have on throwing him over the top.
Must
rope.
Have watched Fun Wrestling. When doing the
Fatal Four Way match. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He kept on trying to eliminate Dolph, but it wasn't that kind of match.
No, but he's proving a point.
Yeah, it wasn't
that
kind
eliminate
of match,
Dolph from the match at any moment.
Right.
Dolph got fed up. Just didn't get back in the ring the last time. Got counted out. Yeah, that was the end of the match.
Yeah, that was it. Orton.
So the whole show they're promoting this segment where Orton was going to address Bray Wyatt.
And all he did, really, was explain in the most boring way why he did what he did. And it was so plain Jane, so vanilla. And he literally just ran down the sequence of events like we don't know what happened. I knew that I had to join them. And it wasn't like I wanted to learn from them to understand their power and then turn it around on them.
He never even really said the best way to break them up was to do it from the inside.
Yeah.
He didn't even say that.
I know.
And then, as I mentioned earlier, during his promo, he mentioned he had to become more sadistic and more evil to see his plan through.
And
how is he a good guy? How is he a face?
I don't even understand exactly what his plan was. Because his plan,
go ahead.
I don't know. Like, did his plan involve Luke Harper milling about like a ringside? How did he know that Luke Harper would mill about ringside and then they would get DQ'd and then Luke Harper would get pissed? You would think that family bonds would run tighter than that. Like, how would Randy Orton know that Luke Harper would just be pissed? Because, like, how did he know that Luke Harper wasn't going to embrace Randy Orton? They have like,
well, from the beginning, Luke Harper was suspicious of Randy's motives. That was kind of dealt with early on.
I know, but
then it doesn't explain why Luke would just kind of mill about and get involved in matches. That's not explained.
Yeah, and there was no like, there was no amount of like Luke and Bray like deciding whether or not they should accept Randy Orton. Like, they just did that on face value, and you'd think that in the background that would be happening, but wasn't.
That would be a conversation you'd have to have,
right?
Like, anything about Randy Orton's history.
Exactly. Like, there was none of that. It was like there was no intricate plan. It was just, I'm gonna join them,
and then it's the like, time is right, I'm gonna screw them.
Which is a terrible line.
It's awful.
And then it's like, okay, well, why didn't you just, what was the purpose of this plan? Was it to break up the Wyatt family?
Or is it just to get the title?
In which case, he didn't help Bray get the title.
No.
Bray did that on his own.
Yep.
Like, for once.
And if he really just wanted to get the title, he shouldn't have eliminated Bray from the Rumble.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what his plan was. Just to infiltrate the Wyatt family and bring them down from the inside?
But he didn't say that.
But Bray's the champion. And if Luke Harper really wants to, like, prove his point, he could just help Bray keep the title. Like, was his plan to burn down the complex? Because he could have just followed Bray whenever he went back home.
Well, that he did say. He said that, I know.
Like, he wanted to destroy Bray Wyatt, like he'd take away his powers?
Yeah.
He said that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, why would he know that destroying Sister Abigail would do that? Like,
but it turns out,
desecrating her remains.
According to Bray, it didn't.
Yeah. Sister Abigail was born. He shows up on the Titan Trent. Sister Abigail was born of Satan.
Spawn of Satan.
Spawn of Satan. She was literally born in hell.
Which,
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that. But also, like, if you want to add some complexity to the characters,
mm-hmm.
that's not the way to do it.
No, it's not.
Because when you invoke Satan,
mm-hmm.
just you're going to be the heel in the situation.
Yeah. The problem is, like, wrestling, like, I don't know. I'm sort of torn on the supernatural aspect of wrestling anyways. Because, like, okay, so Kane is supposed to be the demon, right?
Yeah.
But then you just introduce the Katie Vick thing and it just goes away. He's HR Kane and he goes away.
Well, even like when The Undertaker became the American Badass.
Mm-hmm.
Which I understand, character had to evolve, but when he goes back to Dead Man Undertaker, it's like, no, you're just a guy who likes motorcycles and Limp Bizkit.
Kid Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm sort of on the fence of that anyways, like, to a degree.
I like how they treated, because in NXT, I'm on the record, I'm not huge on Finn's demon persona.
Yeah.
But in NXT, they just kind of treated that as, okay, it's a huge match.
Mm-hmm. Game time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he puts on the theatrics to kind of intimidate his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never really brought up the whole backstory
behind
his name and the demon and all that stuff like they did on Raw, where they made a huge focus during the lead up to his match with Seth Rollins. So I'm on the same page here, but they could have still done some interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, my worry is at the end of WrestleMania, we're going to have boring face Randy champion,
mm-hmm.
and the Wyatt family is going to be exactly what it was before any of this started. It's going to be Bray, it's going to be Luke, it's going to be Eric Rowan, and this whole storyline was just to get the belt on Randy. And in the end, especially if during Bray's promo last night, he said, you know, he said this is the rebirth of Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
So if Bray comes out of this situation more powerful because Sister Abigail bestowed all her power onto him.
Mm-hmm. He should win.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't win, you're effectively burying Bray Wyatt. I don't like using that phrase, burying a talent, but that's kind of what you're doing.
Here's the sort of the silver lining that I saw on last night is at least Randy didn't no-sell Bray's, like, digging a dirt bath. Because he started acting like, man, maybe this wasn't a good idea after all. Yeah. So I hope in the go-home, do we have two more go-homes or two more shows?
Yeah, two more SmackDowns.
I hope in those two shows we see Bray sort of embody that additional power that he's taken on, which was a suggestion that somebody left in our Twitter that time when they said, what if burning it simply releases power? Yes. And in sort of different words, they did sort of say that last night.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool. So now I guess that gets Randy to like be face because now he's dealing with literally Satan. I mean, I guess there's some element there.
But still, you know, he's a narcissist.
He ends up being on the right side of history because he was battling Satan the whole time.
Yeah, I know. And so in the grand scheme of things, yes, he's on the right side.
But. Yeah, but the bottom line is, yeah, now he's literally facing the devil and he's just going to beat the devil with a single RKO.
I know.
Like then, and on top of that, like John Cena has been beaten by the Sister Abigail move. AJ Styles has been beaten by, and Randy. So now Randy Orton's like the most leveled up guy in the company, you know, except he can get destroyed by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we're just overthinking this stuff, but
I don't think we are.
I don't want, you know, like this better be a fucking hell of a match where Randy Orton has to dole out 20 RKOs for this to matter.
Yes.
Like Bray Wyatt at this point, if he is Satan, if he has the power of Satan, he needs to be laughing off those RKOs left and right, you know?
He has to no sell them.
And Randy Orton has to be legitimately freaked out during this match. This match better be fucked up.
Yeah.
And the next 2 weeks, Bray really needs to get over on Randy Orton and really put Randy, so to speak, in a hole.
Yeah.
Before Randy pulls out a win at WrestleMania. At that point, I will be like, okay, I'm kind of satisfied with the arc of this.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to see Randy just being cocky, arrogant for the next 2 weeks, rolls into WrestleMania and then beats Bray Wyatt. That would just be such a fucking bummer because it'd be so much potential lost.
Yeah.
And on top of the fact that, like, it would have been so much more interesting if it wasn't just, I'm going to join them and then swerve them. I really would have preferred. I wanted to join them to understand their power and then be able to defeat them using their own games.
Yeah,
that would have been awesome. But they didn't go down that route.
Nope.
It was so dull.
It was.
It was so dumbed down.
Yeah.
So, anyways, my duty is to purge all the infidels. I'll start with you, baby Orton. But first, I gotta change your booty. I think you made a doo doo. You crapped your pants, at Randy Orton.
Next, we have a Baron Corbin interview where he's staying next to a forklift. That's his gimmick now.
Forklift operator.
You know, there was a forklift in the backstage area where AJ was waiting, too.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Now I got an eye for forklift.
Yeah.
Forklifts on SmackDown.
Yeah.
It's a motif now.
It's Easter eggs. Baron, he basically said, you know, what did he say? Like, he know in my world, there is no line that I won't cross or some crap like that.
Setting up the match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, basically. It's like that. Like, he tried to literally crush a man with a forklift. No consequences for that.
I know. Come on.
Oh, man. American Alpha versus the... This is the main event. American Alpha versus the Usos.
Well, the main event was Shane walking backstage.
And announcing that he's going to fight Grizzly at WrestleMania.
Because they kept cutting either picture
Did you watch this live or after the fact?
After the fact.
Did you get through to like the... when did it cut off for you?
Right before he came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. So I watched the video this morning.
So you didn't get to experience the Grizzly effect.
No.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about that in a second.
So this match was happening. Decent match.
I could not care less about the tag division of SmackDown. I could not care less.
They haven't done a very good job
building
anything. There's
nothing happening there. The American Alpha, they are fucking cardboard cutouts, man. They're good wrestlers, and I've said that from the beginning, and I really like their character stuff in NXT.
Yeah.
They have done jack shit with these guys.
Yeah.
They have done nothing with them to make me care beyond showcasing their ability in the ring, which is good.
Yeah.
It's a good. They're good.
It's that, and for me, is wanting the best for them because they did such good work in NXT.
Yeah, I know. Their music is generic. Them coming out happy as day, generic. I mean, it was the same problem I had with the Usos before they were heels.
Yeah,
they were just even they had like I used to clown their war dance, but at least they had that going for them. At least that was like identity. That was some identity there. Their war paint was identity.
Yeah.
You know, they flaunted their Samoan heritage thing. That was identity.
Yeah.
You had something there. I sort of missed that now, given that American Alpha are like the most generic tag team there is.
Yeah.
They're so boring.
And you could tell SmackDown's creative staff thinks very highly of their tag division when this match was continually interrupted by shots of Shane walking around backstage, flanked by Finley and Jamie Noble.
Yeah.
And they would do picture-in-picture.
J&J security.
And Shane walking backstage was on the larger of the two frames.
Yeah, exactly, because we need to see all the detail of that.
And then the crowd started chanting, "We want Angle," during this match.
Yeah, because that's where he's from.
Yeah, and he was backstage.
Yeah.
At some point during the show. So the Usos, the spot that finished the match was pretty cool.
I liked it. Yeah, that was
American
good,
Alpha got the Usos set up for the Doomsday device.
Yeah.
And then one of the Usos managed to get Chad Gable kind of on a trio woe on the outside where Gable's foot was.
Well, Gable's ready, locked in to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as Jordan put, Uso 1 up on his shoulders, and Uso 2 came up and pushed Chad Gable, so he ended up in an outside tree of woe, and then he super kicked Jordan square in the face.
Yeah,
they got
led to a roll up. Yeah, directly from that, Usos got the win. So we'll see American Alpha and the Usos probably in the WrestleMania pre-show.
Oh yeah, I would think so.
So the show ended. Well, for me, it ended right before Shane walked out to the ramp.
Okay, so here's what happened. Shane, because you watched it like on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Shane comes out, just looked as concussed as can be.
He did a pretty decent sell job.
No, he did a great sell job. It was fantastic. And he said, AJ wants a match at WrestleMania. Now he's got one. And now for Crisley. Like, literally, less than a second after he says, now he has one. It cut to, and now for Crisley on the USA Network. There was no, like, time to let the crowd, like, understand. There's no fade to black. There's no him walking back. For fuck's sake, this happens too much on SmackDown. I understand that contractually, TV contracts, like, there has to be a specific time that they go to. Somebody needs to figure out the last 10 seconds of the show so it's not fucking Crisley every time. And I'm a Crisley fan. I think that dude's fucking funny. But I want a proper end to a dramatic beat on SmackDown.
Yeah, you need that beat.
When Shane McMahon announces what's going to be one of the marquee matches on the show, him versus AJ. I'll be honest with you. I said from the get, I am not huge on AJ Shane. I do not want that match. I am totally sold on it at this point. I know we have problems with heel face, with Shane, blah, blah, blah.
But they did a good job of presenting the match and having it carry weight, because we weren't expecting AJ to get fired.
They ramped up the intensity. Yes. He's in the alumni section now.
I know, that's great.
So they're really playing up this fired bit. I really like. I'm totally fine. I know. I just spent 30 minutes talking shit about it. I'm sold. I'm going to be there. I think they're going to pull off all the stops. I think AJ Styles can have a 4-star match with the broom. And I think Shane McMahon's really going to bring it. I think maybe last year he had some rust. I think maybe he's had the last year to train and to do some more wrestling training. I think he's going to pull off a decent match.
I remember he was in the Survivor Series match, and he got concussed. Well, I guess he didn't get concussed, but he got his bell rung real bad.
He did.
Real bad.
So I don't know. I mean, that aside, I'm on board with this match. I'm trying to think of other people that I'm happy this wasn't with, and there aren't a lot.
So let me ask you this. Let's speculate a little bit. Assuming AJ isn't rehired to SmackDown so they can do this match.
I'll be honest with you. They could have gone AJ Cena 3. I probably would rather see AJ Shane.
At this point?
Yeah. Because I've already seen two of those matches, and I feel like this is at least something new, and I don't know what to expect. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have been fine either way. I would have been fine with AJ Cena 3.
I'm coming around to AJ Shane. It still wouldn't be my top choice. But
right, no, absolutely not. But I'm coming around to it. I'm going to be kind of, I can just tell when AJ's music hits, when Shane music, I'll be like, okay, cool. I'm hyped for this. It's an AJ Styles match.
Yeah.
Anyways, what were we going to say?
Let's speculate a little bit.
Okay.
First of all, does the firing lead to AJ, as rumored, going to Raw following Mania?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or will Shane have to essentially rehire him?
Yeah, I would think that the two wouldn't be related. I would think that the two wouldn't be related.
Although it'd be really easy to make it that way.
Yeah, I know.
Like Shane just says, "All right, we're fine. Grudge match. That's the reason for it. But you're not coming back to this company."
Yeah.
Or his brand, sorry.
I would totally be fine with that.
What if AJ shows up on Raw on Monday? New signee.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. That's not going to happen. But I could definitely see them doing something like that. Like I would want them to pull the trigger on a trade.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe given how Braun Strowman just completely annihilated Roman Reigns, That's got to be grounds for dismissal. So, I don't know, send Braun over to, like, I don't know, or send Roman over to
I think
SmackDown.
A range for AJ trade would
benefit, oh, I think, yeah.
benefit both brands.
Everybody, it would benefit both brands and both wrestlers.
It'd be a fresh start for Reigns,
yeah.
which he desperately needs.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially after he beats The Undertaker and he's booed out of the stadium.
Dude, SmackDown, nobody wants to see Roman Reigns in big moments. And so, I mean, he's a big merch seller, so I'm sure there are plenty of people out there who
I know what you mean. There's only so many times you want to see Roman Reigns close a show with his music playing.
Tell me Roman Reigns wouldn't benefit from SmackDown's creative staff, from the way they can jam-pack stuff into 2 hours.
Yeah.
That is perfect for developing Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Give him some character, which he desperately needs.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I don't know. I honestly hope that it does lead to that. Why is this not loading?
It's not doing it for me either. I don't know why it's not loading all the comments.
Do I have to do it at the bottom? That's weird.
No, it just isn't loading for me.
So I'm sorry for the 14
about
people.
14, yeah.
14 questions. It's not. All right. But anyways, we got some questions to ask and answer here.
We're going to answer them immediately.
Retired Dwayne Nix. Last week, I asked you guys on a scale of 1 to 10 if it's possible AJ versus Shane could steal Mania. Steve, you said a 7. Larson, you said a 4. After tonight's segment, do you guys still feel the same? He says he gives it an 8. I'm going to say that mainly based off the fact that there aren't any other big wrestling matches that could steal the show besides potentially Samoa Joe, Sami Zayn. There aren't any other matchups between the guys who are Jericho Owens maybe, but I feel like Jericho...
That's going to be more of an interesting story rather than a show-stealing
match.
Yeah,
I know. And so, like, Seth Rollins, he's still hobbled, so it's not like him and Triple H are going to steal the show. Finn Balor's not wrestling. Shinsuke's not on the card. Yeah. There aren't any other, like, wrestling matches that I think can steal the show. Like, Roman Taker's going to be terrible.
Lesnar Goldberg is not
that's
going to
be
good.
Terrible.
Not going to be good.
So KO Jericho might be good.
The both the women's matches could be good.
But a fatal four way with Nia Jax thrown into the mix, I think is going to clog it up.
They've confirmed it's just a triple threat. That's what
they've confirmed it. But they're going to throw Nia into that shit, maybe. Man. They'll throw Nia in there.
But no, I know. What you're saying.
I think I'm still at 7. Does it move you up from 4?
I think...
It has to move you up at least from 4 to 5.
I was going to say 6, okay. And I don't know if it has the potential to necessarily steal the show.
But Bray Orton's going to be good.
Yeah, if they do it right.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
But they've definitely got me more interested in it.
It has potential. I mean, there's going to be a lot of matches. It has potential to be top 3 on the card.
Yeah.
At least. I think KO Jericho's going to be good. Randy Bray's going to be good. And I think this has the potential to be good. I'm not sure what else can really be all that good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be high on entertainment, but it's not going to be like a Wrestle Kingdom. They're not going to be trying to beat that shit. That's for sure.
And that's obviously not their goal. If the main event is going to be Lesnar and Goldberg.
Mania is to entertain, dude.
Yep.
Let's see here.
Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster. If Mojo Rawley were to start a stable, who would be in it and what would their gimmick be?
The Fashion Police! And their gimmick would still be Fashion Police. He needs Fashion Police. I cannot stand how they've rebranded his clothing. I fucking can't stand it, dude.
Should have stuck with the Zubaz.
Yeah. Just make him hype, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have our destiny be fulfilled.
Yes.
Let's see here. Kenny Oshmegma Naferetti. That's relatively
it is gross.
That's gross. It's also pretty clever. What are the best or offensive chants you've heard? His is Marty Skrull's whoop whoop chant. Whoop whoop.
Yeah, that's good.
And the most offensive, I guess, Randy Orton's at ECW One Night Stand hepatitis chant. Really? That's messed up. Best or most offensive chants? I still like when the CM Punk ones from the other night when it rattled Triple H.
Oh yeah, that was great. It was like perfectly timed.
It really was.
Perfectly timed.
He said, businessman, businesswoman, lady, person, Stephanie, Steph!
Tell him to stop doing CM Punk chants.
Stop doing that now.
I always liked when the crowd would sing along the Kurt Angle's theme song with "You Suck."
When they embraced him and they did that still and he embraced that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I liked when when they had no, they the crowd just cheered for Lesnar when they were when Heyman was trying to get them to cheer for Goldberg.
Yeah, yeah, that was
crazy. It doesn't matter if you cheer Goldberg. They're all Lesnar. No, Goldberg. Flips the mic and they just leave. And Lesnar's laughing. He's like, I just got paid $500,000 to do that. Oh, man. That's great. What does Heyman make? Like $350 a year, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what his contract is.
Vic Vinegar.
This is a good question. Is that?
Yeah, it is.
He's got the Tom Phillips face. I've got a boner on a plane.
Where do you guys think WWE went wrong with the Ellsworth storyline? If you could, how would you have done it differently?
I don't think they've... I think that it went 2 weeks too long.
Yeah.
So that's it. I mean, and then they signed him to a contract. I think he's fine now with Carmella.
Yeah.
I think he's a good like lapdog for her.
Yeah.
I kind of look forward to see what other creative ways they can use Ellsworth, because if they keep on doing that from, you know, like if they keep transitioning him but keep him in roles.
Yeah, yeah. I think it could be funny.
It could be funny.
Yeah.
They keep it fresh like that. Let's see here. No, Paul Iannotta says, is there any chance they kayfabe play Shane injured and he gets a proxy like Shinsuke?
No, after he issues the challenge personally, or issued the challenge personally on SmackDown, that's not going to happen.
Not a chance.
Finn belongs on WrestleMania. Do you feel the tag team main event having Shane clips interrupting proves how little they care about the SmackDown tag division? Yep. Yep.
Absolutely. 130%.
Yep.
James Rodriguez, which match would you have preferred to see at Mania? The initial Shane Brock match that was rumored after the draft, or the match between AJ Shane that we will actually get? Which would you have preferred, Shane Brock or Shane AJ?
Of the two, Shane AJ. I have absolutely less than zero interest in seeing Shane Brock.
Kind of interesting they just dropped that, though, huh?
I know. Because, like, if Brock is going to beat Kevin Owens, your Universal Champion, in 3 minutes, I know it's at a house show,
mm-hmm.
then how are they going to justify it in any way, even with a street fight?
I just think they would have...
A 10- or 12-minute match with Shane McMahon.
I know. They wouldn't have... They just wouldn't... I think they would have gone, like, a completely different path. If... I'll put it this way. If Shane Lesnar would have led to AJ...
No, let's not
AJ something else.
Yeah, I know. I'm just thinking of those two matches in a bubble.
If it's just those matches in a vacuum, then yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
then
that's how I'm approaching the question.
Oh, for
because
sure.
For sure, if it's not AJ Shane, in theory, AJ be doing something much more important.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to think about that.
Yes.
Let's see here. Shoney's big boy champ, Matthew W. Stewart II. My question is, if the Hardys make their way to the WWE and become kind of a faction, who do you think the broken aesthetic could work with on the current WWE roster? He says Neville.
Neville's pretty well established as
I really like what he's doing right now.
I feel like he kind of needs someone who... Dolph.
You think so? Man, that'd be weird. He's not doing shit right now.
Exactly.
Though. He's not doing anything. That'd be funny to see that. That'd be cool. I'm down with that.
Matthew Barisic. Why haven't they booked an interbrand match for WrestleMania? Luke Harper versus Braun Strowman would be good. Neither have anything to do for Mania except the Battle Royal.
No, this is a really good point, actually. I really actually would have liked at least one interbrand match.
I know.
I would have really liked that.
I know. It's kind of surprising they are not doing it, apparently.
Yeah. That would have been interesting, too. That would have elevated the shit out of Luke Harper.
Oh, yeah.
It would have helped both guys if it was Luke Harper versus Braun Strowman. It's a good idea.
It really is a shame they didn't... have Luke Harper mm-hmm. in the title match at WrestleMania. Would add so much to the story.
Yeah, I know. Empire Filth official sign guy Drew Ronaldo. In an attempt to increase revenue, Vince McMahon has opened a new wrestling-themed restaurant and has put you in charge of making the menu. What wrestler-based dishes do you serve? For example, Scott Steiner's Fat Bastard Sandwich. Mojo Meatloaf, that sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound
Booker's
good.
Five-time chili. Those are really good ideas, Drew Ronaldo.
Yeah, they are.
Drew Ronaldo. Ooh. This response here from Kobe Felt. Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania, brother. Oh, that's good. What Big Show-themed food should there be?
What do they call his... His punch is just the knockout punch, right?
The knockout punch. I feel like Big Show, it would have to be a steak.
Yeah.
It'd have to be just a big steak. It'd be like the challenge steak.
Well, I guess the one that would make the most sense is the Roman Reigns. They call him the big dog. So it'd just be like a quarter pound foot long hot dog.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like that.
And some sort of like, or like a bagel dog. So it'd be like his vest.
He said Pasta Mania. Who wants a pasta, brother? Oh, man. Let's see here. Alfredo Saldivar. Do you think after Daniel Bryan saying on Talking Smack that he doesn't want AJ Styles on SmackDown anymore, they're foreshadowing straight? Oh, we talked about that a little bit. Let's see here. Nicholas Viola. We've talked about this a little bit, but we'll reiterate here. What surprise entrance do you think it will be in the women's SmackDown title match? Eva Marie. They keep on talking. They keep on saying the words Kelly Kelly. Marie said that during her shoot last night.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kelly Kelly was involved. She was backstage at Raw or something a couple
weeks ago. Was she? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say her and Eva Marie.
Yeah, Eva Marie.
And it would not surprise me at all if Asuka came out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. And if she comes out, she's winning. You just asked that one.
Randy asks, so Adam Cole dropped the Ring of Honor title. He had a verbal scuffle with the Young Bucks on a Ring of Honor TV taping. Is Cole NXT bound when the contract ends? It ends in like April, right?
End of April.
End of April.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think he's going to stick around. Because after his match with Kenny Omega in Japan, mm-hmm. he said something about, I think, wanting to, you know.
He said Adam Cole is now in New Japan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I wonder if he's going to pull a Michael Elgin and just sort of just start working a lot of New Japan. But, I mean, I imagine he probably still has a good Ring of Honor relationship.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if he went heavy on New Japan and lighter on Ring of Honor.
Could be.
Or if he just kept on doing the same thing. I don't know. I mean, honestly, like it's we can say this, we can say that. The only person who knows is probably Adam Cole
mm-hmm.
and like his close friends. So I would imagine NXT would love to have him if that's the question. What would your preference be? Like, as a fan of Adam Cole, Bebe, what would you prefer for him to do? I'd prefer for him to stick around on the indie scene and just make an even bigger name for himself, but not to the point. I kind of feel like Jay Lethal. Like, there's a weird line that you don't want to go past, and I feel like Jay Lethal is, like, past that lane, even though he's younger than Finn Balor when he showed up in NXT.
Yeah.
He's, like, 31.
Yeah.
I just feel like Adam Cole is only 27, even at like 29. Like
yeah, sign give it a couple years.
Sign for 2 years.
Yeah.
Even at like 29.
Split your time maybe more evenly between Ring of Honor and New Japan.
Yeah.
For a couple years.
Yeah.
Build up that brand.
Put on a couple of 5-star matches.
Yes.
You know?
Have a match with Kenny Omega.
Yeah. You don't need to do the flippy stuff. You don't need to launch.
Be a good storyteller.
You don't have to launch outside the ring. Yeah, I wonder if you think that like, I think he's probably like totally confident in what he does and how he does it. Do you think he ever thinks to himself, man, I really kind of want to try that stuff? Because he really doesn't.
No, but he really plays up the fact that he doesn't do
that. He really plays up that fact. And I would
usually really great comedic effect.
Yeah.
Effect.
Effect, yeah. And it usually works really well. I like Adam Cole, though.
Yeah, he's good.
I think it'd be great. I'd want to see him make a huge splash. Because you kind of see what... And Roderick Strong is a totally different example.
Yeah.
Because Adam Cole is like all charisma.
Yeah.
And he's like fucking like Mr. Charisma.
Yeah.
So it's a different example. But it's still like Roderick Strong maybe didn't make the splash. Well, maybe he made the splash that he could make.
Yeah, I think so.
You know?
Because he didn't really have any established character coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem. Jason the Cabbie. Jason the Cabbie officially takes back everything he said about last week's Raw being weak because minus a few segments in both shows, holy fuck have they checked out right now.
Oh, man.
That being said, this week's question comes from my new addiction, Horizon Zero Dawn. Scenario is that we live in a post-apocalyptic yet far removed from the apocalypse society that has turned tribal.
That's a long question, Jason.
Yeah, you have the opportunity to join one of several tribes, their leaders being Finn, Macho Man,
okay.
Samoa Joe, Shibata,
oh,
Charlotte, mm-hmm. Asuka,
oh, yeah.
Oni Lorcan,
and Dan Matha.
Yeah. Whose tribe do you join?
Okay, so you have Finn's tribe, Macho Man's tribe, Samoa Joe's tribe, Shibata's tribe. Number one, that's out of the question.
You wouldn't join Shibata's tribe?
Fuck no. Are you kidding
me? Would you want to fight Shibata's tribe? Because that's the second part of this question.
No. I don't want to fight. I don't want to attack Shibata's tribe. But then I don't want to be in his tribe because, you know, they're all crazy. They all just headbutt each other for fun. I don't want to do that shit. So I'd want to stay away from them.
For me, as far as what tribe to join, there's only four ones I'm really four of them I'm really considering. Samoa Joe, Shibata, Asuka, and Oney Lorcan.
You're trying to join the most hardcore tribe.
Yeah.
You're not a hardcore person, man.
No, I know.
I would want a more laid-back tribe. I'd want to join either Finn's tribe, Samoa Joe's tribe, maybe Macho Man, because that would be vastly entertaining. Hey, Steve, what are you doing today? Are you going to go hunting for our tribe?
I'm going to join Samoa Joe's tribe. I've decided.
For me, it's either Joe or Finn. I'm going to go with Finn. I'll join Finn's tribe.
You want to be in Samoa Joe's tribe with me?
Man, I just think that Finn's tribe would be cool to hang out in. Like, and they'd be cool tribes with each other. We'd trade and stuff, and I'd get to see you from time to time.
On the battlefield.
I said we're friendly tribes. Like, maybe you and maybe Finn's tribe and Samoa Joe's tribe can team up to take on Shibata's tribe.
We'll see.
Dan Matha's tribe smells weird. It's probably gross. That's where all you Empire filth people will land, in Dan Matha's tribe. It's like, he farted again. It's tribe leader, Dan Matha. He's milling about the parking lot.
The glorious Steve Klein. How cool would it have been if it was Kurt Angle that pulled up instead of Shane? That would have been interesting.
I feel like it would have felt like a TNA.
Yeah, it definitely would have.
So I sent you that TNA office, Alberto El Pache. Okay, so somebody in the comments called me out and said, Steve, are you actually mispronouncing his name or doing it as a joke?
Yeah.
When I say Alberto Al Patreon, I'm totally doing it as a joke. But then I started doing it as a joke so much that that's just what I started calling him for reals.
Yeah.
I fully understand that his name is Alberto Al Patron. That being said, what did you think of? So he gave up his title. He relinquished his title because he won it via hitting Lashley in the head with it.
Yeah.
This is our TNA coverage.
Yeah.
And then TNA posted a vignette.
Yes.
From inside the office where they made him relinquish his title. They didn't do it in front of the fans. They didn't do it in the ring with drama. It was in an office skit.
I felt like it was one of our 10 for the win intros.
You know, you said it correctly. There's all these great Machinima back in the day when it was loaded with
Sark and Hutch,
Funhouse guys,
and Kovic,
Sark and Hutch, Scene Anners.
They would do these great, great, great little skits.
I was so jealous that we couldn't go down there to join in on those. Hundar, Hundar was hilarious.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. I made that reference last night. That it felt like the TNA sketch felt like kind of like a lesser version of a Machinima skit,
and not nearly as funny or clever version of a Machinima skit from back in the day.
No,
those were so fucking funny, man. Yeah,
they were great.
Hutch is a funny fucking dude.
Yeah.
I always regretted that I never worked with Hutch in a skit and Hundar in a skit.
I know.
Because those guys are fucking top.
I know.
But yeah, it was so bad. Dutch, you too? Dutch? But the funny thing is when I was watching, I was like, man, Alberto was really good in this.
Yeah, he was really good.
He was really good in it.
Here's my question about this. I don't know why
don't talk about me, Poppy.
I don't know why we're talking so much about a TNA skit. So Alberto says, okay, I'll give it the belt, but I want another match with Lashley.
Yeah.
You guys set that up. Hold on, let me finish
my
point.
You're exactly right. I know what you're saying.
And then Mantel said, well, we can't make that happen. You have to ask Bobby Lashley.
When the fuck? What kind of fucking operation are you running here? Where the wrestlers get to decide who they fight?
That's new to me.
Bruce Pritchard said that too. He says, that's not up to us. Who the fuck are you then?
I know.
Who are you?
Aren't you management? Aren't you supposed to be setting these things up?
You're the bookers, I thought.
No wonder Impact Wrestling is always on the verge of collapsing.
You have to go ask Bob. Okay, I'm going to ask Booby. I love that he calls him Booby also. I'm going to ask Booby. And I'm going to do it how real Latin men do it. I'm going not to go to ask. I'm going to demand. That makes me want to watch TNA just for the train wreck aspect of it, be honest with you.
All right, let's do one more question.
Steve, one more question.
We got one more question. We still have to do trivia. You know, last night I actually thought to myself, I need to bring my trivia game. And I was going to take it out of the closet.
You're here fucking 3 days a week, man. Doesn't have to be on a SmackDown day. You can just do it any day.
No, I know, but I reminded myself, but then I forgot.
All right, Larson, it's time for trivia.
Yeah.
Time for trivia.
You ask first.
During the six-man tag match at WrestleMania 3, which wee man did King Kong Bundy body slam?
Sorry. Can you read it again?
WrestleMania 3, King Kong Bundy, little man, little guy, who did he body slam? There's no way you're going to get this unless you just watched WrestleMania 3 last night.
I don't know.
Little Beaver.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to get that.
Nope.
Name the last four winners of the WWE Diva Search.
Melina?
No.
Okay.
Christy Hemme, Ashley, Layla, and Eve.
True or false? Former WWE Tag Champions Chavo and Eddie Guerrero are brothers.
False.
Very good.
Who has won the THQ Superstar Challenge more than any other person in WWE?
The THQ Superstar Challenge?
Yeah. I have no idea what that is.
Is this a wrestler?
Yeah.
Can I just ask? Okay. John Cena?
Shelton Benjamin.
Oh. Oh, yeah, he's a gamer. What was the name of the tag team of Steve Austin and Brian Pillman?
Hollywood Blondes.
Correct.
In the early 1990s, Tony Atlas wrestled in leopard print tights under what name?
Judging by the look on your face, I'm not going to know this.
No.
Tony Atlas. The leopard skin. The leopard skin tights. The Jungle Man.
Saba Simba.
Fucking shit, man.
This is a tough card.
That is a tough card. In 2005, Animal reformed the Legion of Doom on SmackDown with which superstar?
Draws. Wait, what year was it?
2005.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the date. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's fine. No apology necessary. Unintentional humor. You're probably not going to get this.
I really wasn't watching much back
then. I probably wouldn't have got it either, but I think I had a better chance than you did.
I don't know. Who?
Heidenreich. Remember Heidenreich?
No. what two superstars inducted the original Sheik in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Fuck. Gold Dust? No, I don't know who.
Rob Van Dam and Sabu.
Oh, okay. Sabu, I think they both trained under him.
Yeah.
Or at least Sabu did. Which John Cena slogan also shares the name of the Chain Gang Commander's rap album?
You can't see me?
Yes, very good.
Who was the fourth person to join the NWO after Hogan, Nash, and Hall?
DiBiase.
This says The Big Show. I thought it was DiBiase, too.
You know why I say DiBiase? Hogan, Nash, Big Show. I'm sorry. Hogan, Hall, and Nash. I guess, okay.
And they mean in-ring competitor.
Okay, I guess it was Big Show, DiBiase, then X-Pac.
Yeah, he was the sixth one, yeah.
Yeah, because they called him six.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I was literally this morning, and I'm fine getting it wrong, whatever. This morning I was reading an interview with Virgil where he said he was talking about the NWO. And he said, yeah, me and DiBiase were the fourth and fifth men to join the NWO, and then X-Pac was sixth. I think they didn't consider Virgil being a member of the NWO, just DiBiase, and Virgil was an assistant or something. But Virgil thought he was fifth. So technically, X-Pac was seventh.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
I always thought DiBiase was a fourth guy, though.
It's the moops. We go with what's on the card.
Yeah. Well, we could be wrong.
I got skunked today. I got none.
I get three cards.
You get three.
How many where are my multipliers?
Oh. belts. I don't know which of these belts I might already own.
Oh my, you have the
I have the U.S. Championship.
Okay.
And I think a tag championship.
Your U.S. Championship had a four-time multiplier on it.
Yeah, four-time multiplier.
Okay, making sure. I saw the multipliers on these, but I'm turning them over and shuffling them.
Okay.
Put that one in there. Unless no, that one's yours.
Women's Championship. It's only a two-time multiplier, really?
There's a five-time multiplier in here.
Oh, that's is that the WCW one?
Yeah.
Big gold belt?
Yeah.
If you get that.
I get three of these, so the odds are pretty good. But I won't get it, probably.
What? What is that?
Five times multiplier.
Oh, no, you got it in the first one. What's that?
Three-time multiplier.
For what?
World Tag Champion.
Oh, bad.
One more. Intercontinental Champion.
Oh, wow.
Four-time multiplier.
Wow. You got a lot of multipliers.
Shooting
then.
To a lead.
Good job.
Significant lead.
Who else
I'm winning
here?
Trivia this year.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, you're definitely winning trivia this year. Anyways, that's it for now. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.